Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll talk to him for Draft Daily and figure out where the team might decide to use that pick. Again, they're not going to have probably Abdul Carter on the board. They're not going to have Travis Hunter on the board. Got to make a next pick. I mean, Mason Graham sounds pretty nice. We'll see if John feels that's where they're going to go or it's going to be elsewhere. Again, coming up in about 40 minutes. But I did want to talk about a couple of reports coming out about a quarterback here in the draft by the name of Jalen Milroe, a guy who I would say to some degree, probably similarly to Shador, but at a different point in the draft, his stock's kind of all over the place. Like, he could be graded out. I think he said he's going to attend the draft in Green Bay, but he could go anywhere from late first round to, like, if he slipped to the third, I'd scratch my head a little bit, but I wouldn't be, besides myself, wondering how that ever happened. Now, we've seen Jalen Milroe, guys. Like, we've seen the way that he played at the end of last year. There's reasons to be concerned about what he has. Actually, just the way he played pretty much for the entirety of last year. But the last three games were definitely a bit of a concern. But it's, again, I look at him as a guy that you could end up in the first, end up in the end. The report that really brought on some more attention this week was Jalen Milroe had held a private workouts for both the Saints and the Browns, in which the feeling, according to Jordan Schultz, was that both teams came away very impressed. Very impressed by what he can do. And I think, for the Saints, that carries some weight. But if you're the team drafting nine, you're probably not looking to draft Jalen Milroe at the ninth pick. I'd be pretty surprised if that was the conclusion they got to. So really more so for the Browns, sitting at 33, the potential to move back up into the first round or just sit there tight, draft him there, or move back up at some point in the second round or just in the third round. Again, there's a million different ways with where his stock is currently positioned that I feel like he could end up going. But you tie Tommy Rees into all of this. The fact that Tommy was obviously coaching his offense, had direct contact with Milroe, was getting him on track and being the star that he was in 2023 compared to last year, right? 16-11 touchdown interception ratio. You look at it and go, yeah, probably not your best year of all time there. Probably would have liked to see something better. Well, that would have been the year prior where he had 23-6. Right, playing against good teams there still too, right? I mean, he had gotten them to a college football playoff semifinal in which they went to overtime with Michigan. It's a very good team led by that exact quarterback who looked at this year and said, well, a step back doesn't look great. We had this conversation, I mean, weeks and weeks and weeks ago at the end of the regular season when we're sitting here, Tommy Rees gets announced as the offensive coordinator for the Browns, and you're going, you brought in the Alabama offensive coordinator. At that point, Jalen Milroe was like hands down a top three quarterback in the draft. At least it was thought he was going to be. And the thoughts had come out, well, if you promote Tommy Rees, does that in any way, any shape, any form, get you to Tommy Rees potentially going to the Browns? That there would be a natural connection there with the two sides. Now, I think we can sit back and say that was probably false, right? And we pretty much knew it then, too. It was just worth the conversation. But you could say, yeah, Tommy Rees isn't going to have so much impact on the Browns that, hey, I like Jalen Milroe. team goes and gets Jalen Milroe. You were never going to be there. But if he came in and had high praises for the quarterback, the Browns are like, okay, we'll take those into account as we sit here and look. He'll be on our radar. Then you have a private workout now. Browns were impressed. It starts to build. It starts to climb because, well, I don't know that you can start Jalen Milroe day one if there's a team where he could find a way to do it or find a way to make an impact maybe earlier on than all the other teams, it would be with the Cleveland Browns. Having Tommy Reese there and being able to reestablish a connection that these two know very well, running a very similar offense to one that's going to be ran in Cleveland, I almost wonder if the buzz around Jalen Milroe and the Browns has been too low from where we started to where we are now. I almost wonder if there should have been more buzz kicked up around Jalen. And we still got time. I mean, we've got almost 20 days until we're getting to the NFL draft, but that feels like a conversation that still needs to be prevalent in this entire draft conversation that we have. That needs to be an aspect of it. Because Jalen Milroe should not be ruled out as a potential look for the Browns, as a potential guy that they could go out and get. Now, again, I hold firm. I would probably still prefer Shedeur Sanders at two. Still where I'd want to go. I still like that you figure out the quarterback position, figure it out early. And if you fall in love with him and you like that guy, which it feels less and less like that's the case. But I like Shedeur. I think he's very capable. And Jalen Milroe has to be in one of the next couple of options there, right? If you can't have Cam Ward, if you can't have Shedeur Sanders, or you don't want Shedeur Sanders, I would almost feel like for the Browns, that Jalen Milroe would probably be option three, maybe option four. Right? Maybe you'll really like Jackson Dart too. Maybe Milroe falls to your fourth option. But I would think that you like him. I would think about what he's been able to do with Tommy Reese and only an opportunity to grow there. I would think you like that. And the thing that attracts me to Jalen Milroe with a second round pick or a third round pick, and I would probably push to draft him at 33 and not leaving it to risk. If you wanted to go get a guy with the highest upside probably of any quarterback in this draft. Now, we're talking a really low floor. We're talking a guy could be out of the league within a couple of years type of floor. But an insane upside, I think that guy is Jalen Milroe. Everything that he can bring with the ability to use his legs is fantastic. He is an elite runner, an elite athlete, and a true dual threat quarterback. I've brought the comparison many of times, and the fact that you'd be drafting him in the second round, the fact that they both went to Alabama, that, yes, plays it feels almost like a no-duh type of moment, right? Like, yeah, wow, great connection you made there. I think everybody could have made it, but it's Jalen Milroe to Jalen Hurts. The quarterback who needs a lot of work throwing the football, needs some time to develop, but at the end of the day, is dominant and very effective with his legs. I think that is the definition of what Milroe is. But the conversation that needs to be had around the Browns and potentially taking him, I think, is if you don't trust him to start day one, which I don't know a ton of people that would. He looked terrible throwing the ball last year. I mean, even the highlights of Jalen Milroe throwing the ball, he's putting receivers in harm's way. He's not hitting guys in stride. Throwing the ball needed a lot of work. If you're not ready to start him day one, do you still have the capability to go get a veteran quarterback? Or is there a quarterback on the free agent market that then you look at and say, you're good enough to get us until Jalen Milroe's ready, which I know very well could take up to probably the full first year, right? Going into season two of Jalen Milroe. And I don't know that that answer is yes. And that's where the Browns find themselves, I think, in not a bad spot to be in the draft, but obviously a bad spot to be at quarterback. We knew it coming into the offseason. It was a bad free agent class. It wasn't necessarily going to be the best quarterback class, especially without Cam Ward falling to you, without a love for Shedeur Sanders. You really look at the quarterback class and probably think relatively low of it. But again, if you could bring, and I think Kirk Cousins is an interesting option. I think the minute that you draft a quarterback with 33, Kirk Cousins is out. right? Or God forbid you have to move back into the first round. Kirk Cousins is out. He told you straight up, yeah, I don't want to be put into another situation like I was in Atlanta with Michael Penix. And he's not going to come back with a quarterback being drafted that early. So ruling out Kirk in that scenario, unless you can get Milroe maybe in the third round, maybe that's enough of a sell for Kirk that he can sit for a couple of years. But if you're trying to find a veteran quarterback to fill the gap while you try to draft for upside, I think it's, one, an incredibly dangerous situation for the Browns and Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski to assume that their job is safe enough to keep rolling and going with the fact that that's a possibility. I also look at it and just don't know that the veteran power is there. Again, I've said I would trust Kenny Pickett to start a handful of games, 4 to 6, and I think right around 6 is where my faith would be completely on zero, and I'd be like, that change needs to happen. So I wouldn't be very good starting Kenny Pickett 17 games as the Browns and feeling like you're going to have a real chance to make the team look overly competitive. And of the veteran quarterbacks left, I mean, are you falling in love with Carson Wentz to the point where you trust him to start a whole season? He's probably the guy that sits out there right now that is openly available that I might have the most faith in to get that done and have the team look half decent. But even then, there's not basically any faith in Carson Wentz to be able to do that, which is why I lean towards the fact that it feels like the Browns are in a less than ideal spot. That it feels like as they're trying to find their quarterback of the future, they're stuck with trying to find their quarterback of the now. And the battle around that and trying to make this team competitive is where they've put themselves in a hole. To say that they want this team to compete in 2025 means, well, if I draft Jalen Milroe, I have to have an option.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
To start at quarterback that I say makes this team competitive. And what is your sell then necessarily to the fan base that, yeah, Kenny Pickett's the guy that does that. Carson Wentz is the guy that does that. I really think the only guy openly out there and available is probably Carson Wentz is the guy or Kirk Cousins. Again, if Kirk is able to be got, he's the only one that pushes you above. He's the only one that you look at and say, yeah, this team can be competitive next year. Because Kirk doesn't want to play on a one-year deal. Unless, I mean, Atlanta openly releases him, then I could definitely see it if you're getting paid that big of money to go play a one-year contract. But he's not coming in to look to be a spot starter as you develop a guy behind him that at any point in the season, just like Michael Penix, you could turn to him and say, yep, well, thanks for filling in, Kirk. We have our answer now. You would think Kirk wants to be there multiple years. And I don't know that the Browns would want to be committing to Kirk for multiple years and then just pushing back the opportunity to reopen a potential Super Bowl window, a potential deep playoff run window. I don't see that happening, which is why now the Browns are in a spot of, can I even draft Jalen Milroe for the fact that I think he has upside, and a very large one at that, because I'm not going to have a quarterback that can necessarily get me through this year without just pushing a couple of starters out there that I have hope in. Basically, going the Raiders route and saying, all right, Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell, here we go. Doesn't feel like a great option. 216-474-0092. Is there a veteran quarterback who allows the Browns to shoot for upside at QB in this draft outside of Kirk Cousins? Is there a guy that you think can hold down the fort right now that allows you to get Jalen Milroe? Again, 216-474-0092. You can get me on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake. We'll get to that and as well get to some comments made earlier on in the day by Albert Breer that has me asking questions about what happens if the Browns don't go quarterback at two. It's Jake Volnick with you guys right here on Overtime on The Fan. But beyond that, I mean, Carson Wentz. Okay, starting Kenny Pickett. It just, neither of those options are screaming, get you through the 2025 season and make sure you take a massive step up to the point where people feel good about the Browns heading into 2026. Nothing there makes me feel that way. I want to bring up a scenario here coming up in a couple of minutes about potentially what the Browns are doing it too, but I want to get out to the phones first. Again, 216-474-0092. Let's go to Greg is in Kent. Greg, is there a vet that you like to allow him to shoot for upside in the draft?
Yeah, Jake, I'm Flacco all the way, man. He's already been in the system. We know he can execute. He's a veteran guy who's going to be at probably a veteran minimum. He's probably looking to get into coaching. So showing a rookie how to play is going to be good for him to further his career in football. I think that's the best option. We don't have to give up assets like we do for Kirk Cousins. Once Kirk Cousins got that $10 million, I was out on Cousins. I don't want to exhaust a lot of stuff to get a guy that we don't know if he's going to be the guy. So I'd say Flacco, probably the best bet to go with.
Yeah, and Greg, I don't hate it. It's not one of my favorite. The guy's 40 years old, okay? I've been out on Flacco for quite some time, but I understand sort of the infatuation with it that he played 6 games in a Cleveland uniform, 5 of them in the regular season that made the Browns look pretty darn good. And just going and getting a 40-year-old quarterback to do it, is it making you take a massive step up? I mean, 8 games played last year, some of those in which he started, some of those which he didn't, with Indy. A very similar stats to the way he operated with the Browns. Let's not sugarcoat it. He threw for just about the same amount of yardage in a couple of more games, one less touchdown, one less interception, and a total of 44 less pass attempts. There still is, looking at him play last year, aside in a little bit of what he brought to the table when he was with Cleveland 2 years ago. I just think if you're looking to show massive improvement, there's pretty much, the way that I look at it, a very clear similarity between going and getting Joe and just running back Jameis Winston had you have done it. They present nearly the exact same thing, which is they're going to throw the ball, they're going to throw it far, they're going to throw it a lot. They're going to throw plenty of touchdowns and yards, also going to throw their fair share of picks, which clearly in the time that we spent with Jameis Winston last year just did not go well. Right, so I can't fully buy onto the Flacco train, but I understand that sort of the liking and the idea to it, that by bringing him in, it's a veteran that you feel like you can trust, and you can't knock that. If you say that you trust Joe Flacco, I'm not going to tell you you're crazy. I'm going to tell you he caught lightning in a bottle one time, and you're hoping to do it again. Doesn't feel like a very trustworthy way to do it. Doesn't feel like my favorite way to operate things, but it's definitely not out of the realm of possibility. All right, let's keep the calls rolling. Let's go to Wayne is in Streetsboro. What's going on, Wayne?
First time caller. Hey, Jake, first of all, let me give you the sad truth, all right? The Browns offense last year scored less points than the expansion offense in 1999.
Yeah, it's not great. It's about the worst offensive year that I've seen in my life.
Right, absolutely. So now, as far as the veteran quarterback, to me, you're also bringing in a first-time offensive coordinator, right?
Right.
And nothing is complimentary going on. You have a first-time coordinator. You have an offense that is probably in the bottom 5 talent-wise in the NFL. And got a coordinator that's got no identity, right? He's learning on the job.
So there is no better quarterback
that can overcome those things that are brought to the table.
Yeah, hey, Wayne, I appreciate the call. You're breaking up a little bit, but I got the gist of what you were saying there. Now, I think that to some degree, Tommy Rees is sort of, not sort of, he's thought of as one of the pretty much up-and-coming young faces, young coaches in the NFL. I think that he does have an identity. He's an offensive coordinator for Alabama. He very clearly was very similar to the way that Kevin Stefanski ran his offense. It wasn't a shock when they brought him in as a positional coach. It made a ton of sense then, just the similarities that they brought of why Kevin would want him on the coaching staff. Again, made a ton of sense. Promoting him to offensive coordinator, compared to what we had last year with Ken Dorsey in the way that those things worked out, trying to structure an offense for Deshaun Watson. Yeah. Again, the promotion made sense to me. So I don't want to paint it as there's no identity for Tommy Rees. But I can see still the concern with it, where you're going with and feeling that the first year guy, the lack of talent on the offense. Yeah, there is. There's a lot of lack of talent, which I think sort of even pushes this into the next point, the next conversation that I sort of want to have about this team. And by the way, coming up in 10 minutes, we're talking to John Shipley, Jaguars on SI, going to join us for Draft Daily. I want to play a clip here from Albert Breer from earlier on today via the Breer Report. Just sort of throwing out there the three guys the Browns would be interested here in the draft and the gap that he thinks there is with two of them compared to the other.
We go to number two with the Browns. And I really think that this is a toss-up without a quarterback really involved. And I'm not saying it's impossible they take Shedeur Sanders. I actually think they could wind up trading back into the first round and taking Shedeur Sanders maybe later on. But I right now, I think this is either Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter. Either way, Cleveland, I think, can't lose taking either of those guys. It's a great situation for the Browns to have. And again, like, I just think the gap between what you see Carter and Hunter and then the rest of the quarterback class after Ward is significant enough where you're taking a position player there too if you're Cleveland.
Okay, so if you're taking the position player, right, and I have a relatively high regard for both of them in the positions that they're in, right? I don't love the idea of taking Travis Hunter. I'd probably rather Abdul Carter, but either way, I would think that both of them is very good, high end, and very high ceiling level talent. But I have my question marks. I have my reserves about either one of them. To the point where if it feels like the gap is so large between Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, the next quarterback on the board, and probably to some degree the next guy off the board, are you almost better sitting there as the Browns if you're going to take one of them in the value that those two present in trading off of the pick? Right now, I'm not saying trade off of it and go get the Steelers pick at 21 and then be in the down and dumps of the first round. I'm talking, hey, Raiders, you want Travis Hunter? I'll slide back to two. You can come, or I'll slide back to six. You can come up to two. Or even the Patriots, you want to make sure you get Travis Hunter? Again, I'll slide back off of two and I'll go to four. And there's a couple of other teams that you could pick out from that side too, from in the first top 10 of the draft that you could look at. And there are other great players that could be game changers sort of sitting in that mix, right? If Mason Graham is available, I think he's somebody that could help definitely benefit what the Browns are trying to do on the defensive end of the ball. Similarly to Abdul Carter's going to create a lot of pressure off the edge. Well, Mason Graham's going to create a lot of pressure from the inside and also probably help you stop the run as well. Or could you go get Ashton Jeanty, solidify the running back position? Even if you want to get Tedrone McMillan or another wide receiver, Matthew Golden, if you like him better. Right? Are those guys that you could get possibly closer to 10 than you are sitting at right now to 2? And oh, by the way, considering the Browns are missing more than just a couple of spots where you desperately need starters, you can acquire second, third, heck, even fourth round talent, but more so your second and your thirds. Are you in a better position almost going for quantity of quality players rather than find me a star? Find me the potential to get a star more than likely between those two guys on the defensive end of the ball where I still might be able to get a star on defense. Like, if I can get to Mason Graham, if I trade back to four and pretty much guarantee I get Mason Graham, you still have what's likely to be a very, very good defensive player. Are you better off getting that and banking on he's going to show up, he's going to be one of the better of the guys that we have, then, okay, let's take one of these guys, and knowing they have question marks, knowing that there is a floor to both of them, yet he's below elite-level starters, star talent on the defensive end of the ball, and going, we can get basically that same floor with what is potentially a similar ceiling and also acquire second, third-round picks in exchange for it. And again, if the asking price is that high and everyone is that high on Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, then the sell should be easy. The return should be beautiful. If you're not going to go quarterback, I think it's something that you have to consider, something you have to lay out on the table. All right.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's leave that there. Coming back here in about 5 minutes, John Shipley, Jaguars on SI, going to join us to let us know what he feels like Jacksonville's going to do with that number 5 pick coming up in Draft Daily. Again, coming your way in 5 minutes, it's Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan. It's Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan, getting you ready now for Draft Daily. We go around the league, talk to reporters and members covering the teams all across the NFL, trying to get a feel for what they might do in the draft, where today we're going to take a look at the Jacksonville Jaguars and try to get a feel for what they're doing at number 5, sitting below probably the threshold for Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter. And with that, let's go out to the Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He covers the team for Jacksonville Jaguars on SI. He's John Shipley. He joins us now. John, how's it going?
I'm doing fantastic, my friend. How you doing?
I'm also doing well. I mean, but before I get into any of the questions on the draft, I have to ask you, can I get a quick check on the availability of Trevor Lawrence? I'm in the market. Listen, the Browns are in the market. I'm looking for a quarterback. If there's anything I can do, might sign around the number 2 pick. You can have 2 and 5. I'll take the QB.
Hey, I for like those wondering, you know, what they would hear from the Jaguars if they called about Trevor Lawrence, are you interested in dial tone? Because I think that's about as far as they'd go. Like when that Steelers thing, you know, came up randomly, you know, while they were in the middle of their general manager search, you know, somebody, you know, inside the organization, you know, I was talking to even was like, you know, we don't even have a general manager to trade him. Plus, he has a no trade clause in his contract. It's not like he's just, you know, waving that for no reason. So definitely not something I see coming up anytime soon.
It's worth a shot, John. It's always worth a shot.
I understand.
when my options come down to, hey, do you want to pay Kirk Cousins the contract that he's on? Carson Wentz, Kenny Pickett, or draft one? I think it's worth a shot.
I don't blame you.
Let's just start off taking a review of sort of last year. Obviously, to get to the number 5 pick, similarly to the Browns at 2, something had to go wrong last year. What was the issue, you think, mainly that went down in Jacksonville?
Yeah, I think they really just, you know, outside the obvious issues that plague most teams that end up picking the top 5, like injuries, especially at quarterback, that all played a role. But I think at the end of the day, the message just stopped getting across from Doug Peterson and his crew. I think when the Jaguars weren't able to pull themselves out of that slump in 2023, the last thing they needed was for, you know, that it was frankly the worst collapse in the NFL that season. The last thing they needed was for that to bleed into 2024. And it definitely seemed like they carried it over into the season. You go back to week one against Miami, they're about to take a multiple, you know, touchdown lead on the Dolphins. Travis Etienne fumbles within a yard or two of the end zone. Next play, Tyreek Hill scores an 80-yard touchdown, and the season basically snowballs from there. And it definitely felt like every time the Jaguars, you know, were hit with adversity, they just kind of crumbled. And they never seemed like they were able to pick themselves up from the year before. I mean, they had an NFL record of one-score losses. They lost, you know, double-digit games by just a score. So they were in these games. They just could not figure out a way to win. I think a big reason is they just noticed that, you know, what they were doing and what they were trying to accomplish just wasn't working. And that dated back to even the season before.
John, I had started off by mentioning the fact that it feels like drafting at five, Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, most of the where we look right now, those two would be off the board by the time that five came around. And obviously bringing in Liam Cohen to man the entire team, offensive mind. Does it feel like the Jaguars are going offense at number five or addressing more defensive issues in your mind?
Yeah, it's definitely a tough spot in this draft class because, like, not only are you missing out on, you know, the clear blue chip talent in Travis Hunter and to a, in my opinion, slightly lesser degree Abdul Carter, but there's also this quarterback class. It doesn't feel like many teams are going to be desperate enough to want one of these quarterbacks that they'll going to want to move up to number five. So the Jaguars are kind of in that weird gray area where, you know, you're not quite getting the blue chip guys, but you're also, you know, not many teams are wanting to use your pick for you either. So I think that's probably going to come down to a trench pick, whether that's offensive or defensive remains to be seen. I don't think that they operate in the sense that, you know, just because they have Liam Cohen, an offensive minded head coach, et cetera, and obviously a lot of money in Trevor Lawrence, that they necessarily have to use this pick on the offense. But to me, the two names that I've been coming down to the most and the two names that I think they're the most smoke around are Will Campbell and Mason Graham. It remains to be seen if Will Campbell actually get past number four and be there. But as of right the second, my guess is one of those two will be a Jaguar in a couple of weeks.
Does it feel like, and obviously I know that Trevor Lawrence dealt with the injuries and everything, but was protection in Jacksonville something that fans, reporters, everyone latched onto, is something that was clearly missing last season?
Yeah, it's something that's kind of been missing throughout his career. You'll see some wonky metrics, you know, out there about the Jaguars, say pass pro win rate or something like that, but they really turned their offense into a get the ball out of Trevor Lawrence's hand as quickly as humanly possible the last season and a half, just because it was clear they didn't trust their offensive line. But the biggest thing, it wasn't even protection necessarily. It was that teams knew they could tee off in terms of their pass rush on Trevor Lawrence because the Jaguars didn't offer him any support in the running game. Trevor is normally a very, you know, kind of guarded person in press conferences. He very rarely criticizes. So when he does, you can tell that he's really making a conscious effort to do so. And shortly after the season ended, he was asked about the play calling. And he, you know, straight up said that their issue really was the lack of consistency in the running game because it takes so many other things away and made their offense predictable. So offensive line is definitely a unit they need to upgrade. They did sign four free agents, two of whom are expected to start. But I don't think with how Cohen saw the Buccaneers offensive line carry them last year and with Tony Boselli at the helm, I don't think the Jaguars would shy away from adding another offensive lineman.
John Shipley covering the Jaguars for Jacksonville Jaguars on SI. I'll get there. We'll get to the spot. Joining us there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline right now. I'd also throw out to you, drafting at five, you mentioned potentially missing out on sort of the top blue chip level talent and guys like Hunter and guys like Carter. Could the Jaguars be looking to trade up in the first round? Would they be considering a trade down? I know we touched on that. Is there either one of those that are appealing at the moment?
I think probably trade down for the Jaguars. I think that they just recognize that they have to overturn so much of this roster after, you know, Trent Baalke was pretty hit or miss in the draft, that they want as many picks as possible. And they do already have a good amount of picks. They have 10 picks in the draft, four in the top 100. But I think they would welcome adding some more. Like, if you're trading down from top five, from the five spot this year, you're probably not getting a haul for it, but say like two third rounders, maybe. I think that's something they could take to go down, you know, a few spots. Trading up, I firmly believe the only player they would do it for is Hunter. I mean, Liam Cohen at the league meetings, you know, in South Florida last week, was asked directly about Hunter in one interview, and he, you know, gave a very detailed answer on how he would be used if he was brought into the Jaguars ecosystem, how they'd have a plan for both sides of the ball. So it's clearly something they've talked about, and I'm of the belief that, you know, if they had a chance to get Travis Hunter, they would sprint to the podium. But I don't think they're very willing to give up the picks that it would take to go from 5 to 2.
All right, John, I'll get you out of here on this. I'll ask you to plant your flag. Your best guess as it stands right now, Jaguars come on the clock at 5. They turn in the card. What's the name on it? Oh, this would be a terrible time to lose John. John, are you there? Do I have you?
Yeah, my bad.
No, all good.
No, I think Mason Graham. I think the stars align there in terms of value, in terms of fit, just in terms of how I think the top four is likely to fall. Obviously, anything can happen in the draft, but it just looks like they're going to be outside that range for, you know, top two non-quarterbacks. I think Mason Graham is going to be a Jaguar here in a few weeks.
All right. I like to hear it, John. I appreciate you. If anybody wants to check out John's work, they can do so on Jacksonville Jaguars on SI. Nailed it that time. But, John, I appreciate you setting aside the time and talking to us today.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.